From the misty Pacific coast to the rugged Cascade Mountains and beyond to the high desert in the east, you are listening to the Oregon First Hunting and Fishing Podcast.
This is a live recording of the Oregon First Hunting and Fishing Podcast, recorded at the Northwest Mountain Challenge on Crystal Mountain during the vendor giveaway. Thanks for listening. What color are the tickets this time? All right, so everyone needs a red ticket. You get a ticket just for standing there. And Hillary, are we gonna give tickets for asking questions again? Yeah. All right, so for those of you who don't know Zach, he is a big part of Peeing Wild, been 10 years going strong now.
Yep.
What exactly is your position in the company?
I guess like co-owner.
Co-owner.
Yeah.
Peeing Wild. You've seen him in the videos.
Yeah.
And running the shows, and he's a great guy to talk to. So we have an opportunity to ask him some questions. If you're fans of Peeing Wild and been watching their videos,
lob me some softballs, please.
Yeah, some easy questions. But first of all, just while we're handing out tickets, and if you don't have a ticket, really make sure you're getting Hillary's attention there. That way she can hand you one, because you want to be in. I'm also joined by Boaz here. Boaz is a great guy. Say hi. Talk right in the mic.
Hi, guys. I'm the mic MC today.
And so if you have a question, then you go up to Boaz, and he'll help you get on the mic. And if you're too afraid to ask your question out loud, that's okay. Just come whisper it in his ear, and then he can ask it as though it's his own question. Sound good?
It's like a game of telephone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you can just switch the question up if you want.
Yeah. I'll try to totally be discreet as possible.
Yep. And one request we have is just try to keep the F-bombs and stuff down. We know this is a family event, so we don't want to be cussing into the microphone. So, Zach.
Yeah.
Tell us about your booth. What do you have for us at the Northwest Mountain Challenge?
Oh, we got all of our merch that kind of helps support the brand. And then we got our new game bags that we released last year that have a pretty sweet buckle and strap system. Makes it super easy to hang up your meat and get it off the ground. Also get it unhung so you can get it back in your pack and off the mountain. We also have our Tamarack 2.0 knives and our Grit City replaceable blade knife over there, partnered with Grit City Knives. They make our Tamaracks, and then he made that replaceable blade knife handle as well. So kind of got a little bit of everything.
Sweet.
Knife, game bags, you can kind of put together your own kill kit that way. We got the hardside hydration swig rigs as well. Turns your Nalgene into a bladder system. Can get rid of those soft bladders that can leak and pop and puncture.
The thing I hate about those bladders is you can't clean them.
That's the other thing.
I'm going on like year four on mine without clean. It's a little slimy.
Yeah, or you just have to buy a new one every year, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, just some extra protein.
Flavor, put some bleach in there. Just doesn't quite ever get clean.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're here, remember you get a raffle ticket just for watching. So make sure that if you don't have a ticket, you get Hillary's attention, raise your hand, whatever you need to do, and you can get an additional ticket for coming up and asking a question.
And you can go take a sweatshirt off the Peeing Wild booth, put it on, and get yourself a second ticket because you're in a new outfit.
Well, there you go. He said it.
Game the system, you know?
He said it. I don't know if you wanted to say that.
Well, you got to return it afterwards.
Oh, okay.
You can do it for now.
Yeah, but just if you have a question, come up to Boaz. But, Zach, what other than, like, the booth and stuff, what do you guys have going on Peeing Wild-wise?
Yeah, so we film all of our hunts and all of our trips, fishing trips, hunting, gear reviews. We try and give you guys kind of an unfiltered take on a lot of gear out there, what we actually truly like and truly trust when we do go out into the backfield. So the YouTube channel is just at Peeing Wild. You can find us all there. We try and be pretty active on that channel. And then we also have a podcast. A bunch of you have kind of come up and said that you listen to the podcast. I really appreciate that. So with the podcast, we really try and dive into, we have guests and all that kind of stuff. And then we also try and really dive into topics that are happening here in Washington, conservation-based things that are going on with the commission, as I think a lot of us are aware of. If you're not, come up and talk to me afterwards. I would love to talk to you about what's going on with the game commission here, losing opportunity, all those kinds of things. So we try and really cover a lot of ground when it comes to the podcast, and then we do hunt recaps on there and goof off, because we're a bunch of goofballs anyway. So It's just kind of a bunch of buddies talking and BSing and having a good time.
Yeah,
and
who's the main guys in your crew?
It's myself, Jeff, who's the main cartoon character, and then Bob, who's the most stoic, like soft-spoken one. So I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I think we're all aware and concerned about wildlife politics, I'll call it, with all the, you know, the game commission corruption and various things. I'm happy to report that its official IP28 in Oregon has been killed.
Yep.
The signatures didn't reach, so we will not be voting in November to outlaw hunting and fishing.
Yeah, that was a crazy one, man.
Yeah, that was crazy, stupid. We can go on about that, but we won't because we're in Washington.
Yeah.
And
we have our own problems.
Yeah, so maybe just to kind of get into that a little bit, like what are some of the biggest issues on your horizon that you're worried about?
Oh, they're always attacking bear. That's kind of the low-hanging fruit. We lost our spring bear season here in Washington 5-6 years ago now. It was kind of a backdoor deal. They didn't include any public comment. They just went and did it, and it was based off of ethics and opinions rather than wildlife biology. We actually lost a wildlife biologist over that whole thing because the commission went completely against their findings, their studies, their life's work when it comes to bears, predators.
That, like they quit or they were fired?
That wildlife biologist quit because they said, well, what's the point? I just dedicated 3-5 years to this bear study. Commissioners are just going to say, nope, not good enough. We believe that you shouldn't be able to hunt spring bears. So that's a big one. And then they keep coming after fall bear as well. It kind of comes up over and over and over again, pushing the season dates back, pushing the opener back, limiting certain units to only one bear harvest. These ones you can do two. It's a constant battle back and forth. And if we don't stay on top of it, we don't stay vigilant with it, they're going to keep cherry picking the low hanging fruit. They're going to keep taking piece by piece. It's going to be the death by a thousand cuts. If you think that they're not going to come after deer, elk, fishing, you're wrong. They will eventually. Predators are easy. You can tug at the heartstrings of people who don't live our life and don't know what this is about.
Show a picture of a baby bear.
Yep. You can show those pictures and you know, they're cute and cuddly and everyone wants to protect baby bears just like we do. We don't want to shoot a sow with cubs. Like, there's no point in this. So,
Yeah,
it's a scary thing, but we've had some small victories over the past year, so we do need to celebrate that and keep up the good work, because the interactions, the engagement that we've gotten from the hunting community over the last year and a half, 2 years has skyrocketed, and those anti-hunting organizations have felt it, they've seen it, they've heard it, and they're finally trying to play defense where we've always been ones playing defense. So,
well, before we get more into that, I just want to say, anyone who's standing here listening, we're giving away a pair of Vortex binoculars right now. So if you haven't gotten a raffle ticket yet, make sure to raise your hand and get some attention here. That way we can give everyone a raffle ticket and they can be a part of that. And you get an additional raffle ticket for asking a question. So, you know, we're not just rambling on here by ourselves. Hopefully someone will have something to add. And, you know, that's here. Boaz is the keeper of the mic. He's keeping it warm for you.
Yeah, and I can ramble a lot. So if you guys ask questions, that's probably better.
But you hinted at a victory. What are some of the victories you're seeing?
Oh, they pushed to extend or push back our bear season into mid-September instead of an August 1st, August 15th opener. We kind of caught that early, pushed back on it. They retracted that from their proposals, so we kept our August 1st and August 15th bear openers. That was a good one. We've gotten some new commissioners in with some old ones moving out that are – I don't want to necessarily label them as pro hunting, but they are at least pro science wildlife management. I know that some of them do hunt, but I don't want to put that out there, like label them as that. But they do believe in science-based wildlife management, which is really what we want at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the mountain here. So this is the first time the Northwest Mountain Challenge has been at Crystal.
Yeah.
Is this a place you've been before? Have you skied here or anything like that?
Yeah, I grew up snowboarding this mountain. Probably from age.
So does it feel weird seeing it bare like this?
Yeah, I've never really come up here in the summertime, and the whole like lodge and that area is very, very different than when it was just a tiny little shack down here. But It's beautiful. I mean, my office view for the last few days has been pretty unbeatable, so I can't really complain about that. And the weather's been awesome. We got some clouds blown in now, but
You go to say that, and we get the fog rolling in. Yeah. But
it's cool looking. Who cares, man? You're in the mountains.
Is there a chance that you're going to be able to get up and shoot? Or are you busy selling stuff?
I'm confined to a 10x10 prison over there.
What a shame.
So. Yeah.
Well,
so
lucky me, I'm gonna try to sneak out this afternoon and
Hang out with me because I'm stuck over there.
Yeah, give him some company. Seriously, go pick up a sticker. You're giving away your stickers for free, right?
Yeah, they're free. They're off the table right now because the wind was blowing them all over the place. So if you want a sticker, just ask me.
Ask for a sticker. He'll give you a sticker. Yeah. So I wanted you to share an archery hunting story with us.
Oh man, I suck at archery hunting, but
good.
2017, I drew my quality archery elk tag here in Washington, and that film is on our YouTube channel. Our first film ever was an archery elk hunt here in Washington from 2016, so kind of back-to-back years, same area. Those quality archery tags here in Washington are truly quality. After being in other states and things like that, if you're lucky enough to draw a Washington quality elk tag, especially on the east side, don't take that for granted, because it's right now it's close to a once in a lifetime deal with how limited the tags are. And it's a special hunt. I think I called in 16 bulls before I arrowed my final one, and it was actually the first bull that we called in. We called him in on day one. He got to 12 yards, didn't step out from behind a tree. World took off. Like 8 days later, we tracked him down 7 miles away, and arrowed him. So
7 miles.
Yeah, he was pushing cows that whole day. We chased him all over the place, and he had a really prominent fourth on one side, and we didn't know it until we got up on him that it was the same bull from that opening morning. Well, so really cool.
How many Roosevelt hunters do we have standing here? Any West Coast guys? That's all that I hunt, and then I know your experience is mostly east, right?
Yeah.
Eastern Oregon. So everyone else is, are you default a Rocky hunter? What about deer hunters? Mostly deer? Yeah, a few deer hunters. All right. So it's interesting to think of the differences between like a Rosie, which I could bump the same elk every day, and they're going to be back in the same spot, but you bumped an elk or, you know, didn't shoot an elk on 7 miles later. Mm-hmm. He's all the way across. That's just totally different than the west side.
Just getting pushed around by other bulls, and he was pushing his cows away from them, and he just kept running into bull after bull after bull, and just kind of had to keep moving.
Well, that's cool. Hopefully all of us get a chance someday to hunt some good tags. And
yes.
Don't forget, if you're just showing up to listen, we're giving away a pair of Vortex binoculars. The Northwest Mountain Challenge is giving that away. And so make sure to raise your hand if you haven't gotten a ticket yet from Hillary. And that we're going to be doing that right now at the end of this. So if you're listening, make it worth it. Get something good out of it. Don't just stand here listening, right?
Yeah.
And you get another ticket for asking a question. Do we have a question? All right, cool.
So,
put it right in your face.
Is it still good?
Yeah.
Are you planning on doing any elk hunting for archery pretty soon? And when it came to your archery elk hunting experience that you had, I think it was 10 years ago, how was that for your Eastern? Because we're going to be doing Eastern for the first time this year, and I was just curious how we could relate that kind of information on that.
We have Colorado archery elk tags this year, so I'll be in Colorado chasing elk with my bow pretty much all of September this year. It'll be kind of the first time I've had a dedicated archery tag in my pocket since that quality. I've been with Bob, I've been with Jeff, I've been, you know, with other people that have had archery elk tags, so I've still been getting archery elk quote experience, just not with the bow in my hand. But going over to the east side, if you're a west side guy, get ready to glass. It's gonna be more probably similar to deer hunting than you're used to. If you're used to chasing, especially the thick west side stuff, you're not gonna sit up on a glassing spot unless you got a big clear cut that you want to watch. East side, get into those drainages. You can glass a little bit more, even if it is only 100 yards or so, and you're still in the timber. That timber is so much more open. You can actually utilize glass, and just good luck chasing spikes.
All right. Yep. Did you get your extra ticket?
Oh, you got antlerless tags. Antlerless. Okay, that's good. Okay. I would then probably find travel corridors and sit and be patient. Find feeding grounds for morning and evening. Sit, be patient. Midday, travel corridors.
Great. And we had another question.
Yeah, so I got a question for you. How much have you heard on the draw for Muley Eastern Washington when you got guys like me that's family ranch over there and all of a sudden that's where you've been hunting your whole life and now they want to make that a draw?
Yeah.
Have you heard a whole lot on what they want to do on that?
So we did a podcast with Kyle from WDFW. He's the one that put out the original. It's not a proposal. It's like an original. It's a plan or an idea, I guess, of this, like, go to, you know, get rid of the over the counter, go to draw only. And we did a whole podcast with him, and it truly is an idea because the public has floated it to WDFW. There are folks that do want it. I personally think it's an extreme. I think that there's middle ground if you wanted to toy with some of that stuff and make it pick a subspecies. You know, then you could actually get some data as how many people are hunting mule deer, how many people are hunting whitetails, how many people are hunting blacktails. They don't have any of that information right now, which is pretty frustrating that they don't have that information and they want to slash it.
Like my old man, he's had 500 acres over there since I've been born.
Yeah.
I mean, we got everything over there you could ever want. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be a draw.
Yeah.
How do you do that to a guy that's had his land for 30, 40 years, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. And it sounds like it's probably going to go to a public comment for the 2027 through 2029, like season setting dates. And from what we've been told, they truly do like scour through every comment. And if there's enough stank being raised on these topics, they pay attention. They'll cross stuff out. They'll edit. They'll do things. So, you know, for you guys and for a lot of folks that want that over the counter opportunity, which I don't blame anybody. It's a matter of making your voice heard and like raising enough of a stink to be like, dude, no, this is not what we want as Washingtonians. This is not what we want as the people who are putting the money back into the pot, you know?
Well, you heard it here. Raise a stink, right? That's what we need to do.
You know, it's every year, it's something different.
Thousands, exactly.
People don't realize how many thousands of dollars in upkeep fencing is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to try to not say wean them down, but thin them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hey, no, we're going to go to a draw. That devastate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they need to hear from folks like you guys and other landowners on those east sides that are, you know, having damages done and all that stuff. They got to hear from you guys.
Yeah. All right, we got some more questions.
Have you ever hunted pronghorn?
Pronghorn.
I have. Yeah, I've done it twice now, and I went to Wyoming last year and hunted pronghorn in Wyoming with my buddy, and we both killed really nice bucks. So pronghorn was awesome. If you're not right now, get your dad to start buying you points in Wyoming for pronghorn. It's really, really fun. It's super accessible. You can go to some really good units for 2 or 3 points. Cost is pretty efficient there, so I would definitely get after it, and they're delicious too.
Did you do rifle or archery?
I did rifle.
Rifle,
yeah.
Nice.
Most of those states, you can draw like a general tag, and then you can buy like the archery stamp if you want to go archery, or you can go later during rifle season.
Got it. Okay.
Are they skittish or easy to shoot?
They're pretty skittish. They're a different animal than like a deer or an elk uses their nose and their ears a lot, whereas antelope use their eyesight a lot more. So you have to stay super, super hidden. And so that's kind of a fun, different challenge because they're not using the same senses as deer and elk. They use their eyes. And if they see you from a long ways away, they just turn and run because they're so freaking fast.
All right. I think we're going to do one more question before we do the giveaway, and then there'll be more time for more questions after that if you have more. But do we have was someone in line here?
When did you first start shooting?
Oh, I first started shooting, actually hunting. I shot my first deer when I was 11, and I've been hunting ever since then. Before then, I carried around a BB gun and a 22 with dad and grandpa and shot squirrels and Tweety birds and stuff. Probably that I wasn't supposed to, but I did.
Yeah, that's why you got to be careful giving your kids BB guns,
yeah.
Man. At least I would shoot the starlings. They're invasive.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go. Yeah, that's what I was doing too.
Awesome. Well, who's ready for this giveaway? We're going to give away these Vortex, and we have more time for questions after if people want to ask some more questions. But I think Hillary, TJ, you ready to do the drawing? All right, Boaz is grabbing it. You got your tickets. You ready?
All right, ticket number 811166.
Oh, right here. Oh, no way.
Look at that.
The guy who asked the question.
Rewarded by asking a question.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. Well, here you go. All right. Turn, smile. I don't know if there's a camera. Probably
congrats,
not. All right.
Man.
Congratulations. All right. Sweet. Well, that's exciting. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of it. Thank you for coming to the Northwest Mountain Challenge at Crystal Mountain. Like I said, we're going to go just a little bit longer. If there's more questions to ask, we want to make sure we ask all those questions. But thank you for being a part of it all. Yeah. Was there more questions lined up? Cool. We got one here. We're still recording. Sorry.
Oh. So damage control tags over there on the east side, there's areas where you're not allowed to take the animal. You got to call them up, and they actually remove it.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that? What's the point of a damage control tag?
Yeah.
I mean, I get they probably donate it to a charity or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that we've been raising for, like, the cougar stuff is those depredation tags, or I guess not tags, but depredation animals. When WDFW goes out, they either hire a houndsman or whoever to go out there and kill that cat. It counts against the hunter's quota, which one is stupid. And two, you're spending taxpayer dollars to hire that houndsman, go out there, kill the cat, and then just dispose of it because they're not doing anything with it. And I'm sure it's the same thing with deer or elk. And that's part of the frustration is why not give those damage permits and more of those landowner tags either to the landowner to take care of, to get out to hunters or auction them off or raffle them off to hunters so that we can go out there and actually take that animal and then utilize it rather than it just going who knows where.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on the back end with that, but I mean, I'm a big fan of those damage tags going to the right people.
And how much money elk or deer really do to a farmer, and it's not a profitable business.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you sustain.
Exactly.
And can make it for the next year.
Yep.
$10,000 in fencing, $15,000 in alfalfa loss. it adds up quick.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can't even capitalize on the damage control because they want to take that animal and, you guys, nope. You're able to take it, but you don't get the meat.
Exactly. Yeah, I grew up hunting like the wheat country down in the southeast corner for whitetails, and now there's been a bunch of elk that have been moving into that country, and all those landowners just want those elk freaking gone. And it's just but once they establish themselves, it's so hard. Yeah.
Damage those elk do is tremendous.
Massive. Yeah, the trails that they cut out of that ground because it's such soft dirt, they just demolish stuff.
Yeah. Hey, let's give. Yep. I think you had a question to ask.
Yeah, I was just curious. You mentioned I think you had Colorado tags this year.
Yeah,
that's cool. Are you guys planning any other bigger hunts in like Washington? Because we fell in love with you guys. You know, doing all the backcountry like high buck and stuff like that, and we were at one of your live podcasts, and we were actually your neighbors one ridge over when you guys were filming Tamarack.
Oh, wow.
Nice. I found a piece of your camera gear on the trail.
Oh, that's funny.
I left it out for you. Anyways,
yeah.
I was just curious if you guys had any plans to do high buck or something like that.
Yeah, I think that, so it's the first year that we filmed it, seeing it through, that film was 2018. And so I think we're going to plan a big like 10-year reunion of that or 10-year anniversary of that and do another big backcountry hunt for sure in 2028. This year, we're already so busy, it's probably not going to happen. We're going to do all the normal Washington stuff, bears, heavy, modern deer season. We'll still get after it. You know, modern deer for Jeff and Bob has turned into a family affair. So that's kind of... That's kind of their week out of the hunting season where they can get out with their kids and their wives and stuff. And so, you know, that's a special time for them too. And, Jeff's daughter, 13 years old, she drew her first cow tag this year. So she'll be chasing cows with a muzzleloader, this year. So
I got a cow, muzzleloader cow tag with my son last year. He was 15.
Nice. Yeah, so hopefully that'll be her first big game animal, so that'll be really cool. So I know Jeff's going to spend a bunch of time with her on that. I do know what unit. Yeah.
So
we'll talk later.
Hey, as we kind of wind this down.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask one more question, unless there was something else. That Mike's hanging out watching, right? Yeah. So are you planning on staying in Washington for the long haul, with everything going on? I know a lot of people are moving out, man.
Yeah, for the time being, yes. I would like to get over to the east side okay. rather than be on the west side and in the hustle and bustle of, you know, the I-5 corridor and all that stuff. I would like to get over to the east side. It's just a matter of making it make sense. So,
yeah.
Long term, I would love to get out of Washington, but okay. But not for the foreseeable future.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that's cool. Thanks for doing this with us, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
thanks for
supporting
asking me.
What we're doing. And to the listener, thanks for tuning in and listening. And this has been the Oregon First Hunting Fishing Podcast, live Q&A, Northwest Mountain Challenge.
There you go.
See you next year.
Thanks, guys.